Thank you, Trevor, for leading us in prayer. And for those at home, your children are free to go now, or actually to stay. They'd be very welcome if they want to listen through as we study God's word and read it first. Thank you too to Andrew and Alison for leading our worship, and our tech team for facilitating this live streaming. And of course, to you, our members and regulars here at Christ Church Bansted, and others joining us from Sancross and further afield, I trust that you are safe and well. My name is Andrew Grimston, one of the church elders here at Christ Church. Quite fittingly, on this first live stream Sunday morning, we're starting a new series in the Psalms, and we'll be continuing this evening, and then morning and evening for two more weeks. That's six Psalms in all, from Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. Psalms which echo God's rescue of his own people, the Israelites, from slavery in Egypt, and always sung to remember what God had done at Passover. In Jesus' day too, as the Jews travelled from far and wide up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. So as we begin the lead up to our own Easter celebration of the death and resurrection of Jesus, it's good that we're studying from a section of the Old Testament that Jesus himself would have sung and prayed through with his disciples, maybe even as they ate and rested after the Last Supper before Jesus' arrest later that night. So let me read Psalm 113 before we dive in to study it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord, our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. You'll have heard and seen as I read that Psalm 113 is all about praising the Lord. But what does it mean to praise the Lord? If you're not a Christian, you're probably thinking, why should we praise the Lord anyway? And if even you call yourself a Christian, maybe your faith has been challenged by the events unfolding over the last couple of weeks. What's going on? Where is God in all this? And those are all good questions that Psalm 113 will help us to answer. Many of you will have heard or read the Old Testament story and book of Job. And chapter one of that book tells of Job's great life, his wonderful family, and all his glorious riches. But then calamity strikes, and in just nine short verses, everything Job has is gone. Not dissimilar to the speed at which COVID-19 has impacted us all. But Job's reaction isn't what you'd expect. Let me read from verse 21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Wow. How is it that Job, after all that has happened, still finds it in him, in his first breath even, to praise the Lord? And I wonder if there are similar stories being told today. Imagine a lady in her late 50s watching in shock as her retirement funds go up in smoke, with first the stock market and then the oil price crash. She trudges home from the cinema where she worked as it closes for who knows how long. Shortly thereafter, her husband is taken from her by COVID-19. The kids now living overseas can't travel back, and she can't talk to them as her phone is disconnected. Yet she cries out into the empty street, the neighbours watching from behind the curtains. May the name of God be praised. Everything gone. There's no hope in the world, but she's praising the Lord. Why would Job, why would anyone today praise the Lord like this when everything of value seems to be taken away from them? More likely you'd think that they would be blaming God or doubting him, even if they're Christian. Well, we need to ask the Lord for answers, so let's pray before we begin. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word, and that it is living and speaks to us about you and what you desire for us, which is only good. Help us, we pray, to be attentive and open to your prompting. Give us ears to hear and soften our hearts so that we might take in what you are saying and respond with confidence and joy as your Spirit works to change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look down with me, if you will, at the Bible text, whether that is printed or illuminated for you. And you'll see both at the start of verse 1 and the end of verse 9, the same command, praise the Lord, or alleluia, as it is in the Hebrew. And the focus of Psalm 113, the first of the six psalms, is on why God's people should praise the Lord, a reminder to them and starting point of their celebration and worship of God at the Passover. It's helpful, first, I think, to think about what praise is and what it's not. Human praise can be good, given out of love and encouragement. For example, we might say, good doggy, when Fido fetches the ball or the stick. How we might say, that's amazing, when little Freddy takes his first steps or swims his first length. Or how we might say, well done, Granny, when she takes the first prize in the tombola. But praise can be false too, when we really only want to gain something for ourselves, or foolish, when we're so conceited that we praise ourselves. The Bible teaches us that we're all equal before God, and also warns us in Proverbs chapter 27 that man is tested by the praise he receives. And so human praise can be dangerous. It's very far away from what Psalm 113 teaches us about. But what about heavenly praise? The Oxford Dictionary defines praise as to glorify or extol the attributes of God. And in Hebrews chapter 13, it's defined as a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So praise is sacrificial, but it's good for you. It's fruitful. And most importantly, it's about God's name and his character. But what then drives praise? Psalm 113 includes three great reasons to praise the Lord, and we'll work through those. But the question I trust that you're asking, and I have to ask too, is whether any of those reasons is compelling, because if they're not, we won't praise the Lord. The first reason is in verses 1 to 3. Look down at the text. The name of the Lord. See it there in each of the first three verses. Verse 1, praise the name of the Lord. Verse 2, let the name of the Lord be praised. And in verse 3, the name of the Lord is to be praised. So Psalm 113 is clear with increasing emphasis. But what's so special about God's name? A second reason is given in the middle of the second section in verse 5. Who is like the Lord our God? Interestingly, not a statement, but a question in the text. See there at the end of verse 6. The challenge for us being, is there anyone else like God? And even if there isn't, is that a good reason to praise the Lord? We need to test that carefully, don't we? Is it compelling or not? The third reason is there in verses 7 to 9, focused on what God does. He raises and he lifts in verse 7. He seats in verse 8, and he settles in verse 9. The question for us being, so what has that got to do with us? Because if it doesn't apply to us, then again, we're not going to praise the Lord. So three compelling reasons set out for us in Psalm 113. Let's look at each of those in turn now and see if you're persuaded. And if you are, then I expect God's praises to be ringing out around Banstead and maybe down in Reigate, not to mention in Cordoba, Kogoro and Lahore. Yes, there are some good things about live streaming. First then, in verses 1 to 3, praise the name of the Lord. The question is, what's in a name? Our names are quite ordinary, aren't they? Whatever we think about them, there's only seven of us here in the church this morning, and yet two of us are Andrews and two of us are Jameses, so they're fairly ordinary, our names. But the name of God is very special, which you might not realise if you've not thought about it before or not unpacked what the Bible says. For the Israelites as a nation, this dated back to their rescue from slavery in Egypt, where Psalm 113 is rooted. And we have it all written down for us in our Bible. So let's start off then with Yahweh, or I Am, the most common name for God in the Bible, appearing over 6,500 times. First revealed by God when he appeared in a burning bush to Moses as he was sending Moses back to Pharaoh in Egypt. Moses asked God, "Who shall I say sent me?" And God replied, "I am who I am." Which hints, doesn't it, at the enormity of God's character, more than we can possibly comprehend. Other names used in the Old Testament are Elohim, which is Creator God. In the beginning, remember that God speaks, and the earth, the sun, the stars, and all creation and living things came into being. What power in God's name, what power he speaks. El Olam, God is eternal and unchanging, God everlasting, the Alpha and Omega, who always existed and always will exist. His character, word, and promises never change and never fail. They are completely dependable always. El Elyon, God Most High, God is sovereign over and in control of all things. And El Shaddai, God is almighty, all-powerful, so nothing is impossible for God. All in all, I think you'll agree that's quite a staggering CV. God is overqualified for any role or rule that we could possibly imagine, but that's the point. God is too big for us to fully grasp, and too big for us to comprehend. His name is amazing and worthy of praise. So who should be praising the Lord's name? It's as it says in verse 1, his servants, that is all Christians. So, okay, but when and where and how long should they praise him for? Read on, verse 2, both now and forevermore. So if you're a new Christian, start praising the Lord. If you've been a Christian for 20, 40 or 60 years, keep praising the Lord. And if you're not yet a Christian, don't you think that God's name alone is reason enough to praise the Lord? And it carries on in verse 3, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. A few weeks ago, before I was grounded by COVID-19, I could have said that I did that myself, but I know that what it says in verse 3 is true. Christians all over the world are praising the Lord. So that's our first point. In verse 1, praise the name of the Lord. Verse 2, let the name of the Lord be praised. And verse 3, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Our second challenge and question is in verses 4 to 6. Is there anyone like the Lord God in heaven or on the earth? Psalm 13 helps us again with what it reveals to us about the Lord. In verse 4, look down with me. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, so he is above any king or queen, any prime minister, any president, general or general secretary, all dominions and all authorities. And as our own queen acknowledges, and who are we to Her Majesty the Queen or any of those people? So he's certainly exalted over you and me. And verse 4 continues, his glory is not just in heaven, but above the heavens. He rules over it. And as the heavens are above the earth by right, he rules over the earth too. So not just above every nation, but above the whole world. And then in verse 5, the one who sits enthroned on high, one being capitalized in the version I'm looking at. So there's no room for anyone else. God will not share his glory with another. Remember his name, almighty, all-powerful, most high, the one and only radiant, majestic king over heaven and earth. So compared to any of us, do you agree that the Lord is worthy of praise? Shouldn't we bow down before him, the one who created heaven and earth? And it's not just that he's greater, but he's holy too. 100% truth and 100% trust, unlike anyone on earth. And when we understand God like that, bowing down in awe and praising the Lord is our only possible response. And yet there's more of God's character revealed to us in Psalm 113, something even more amazing. In verse 6, read there, he stoops down to look on the heavens and earth. Why would God ever do that? If it was you or me with all that power and might, we wouldn't give earth a second thought, would we? And less so, any of us sinful creatures on it. Yet the psalm is clear. The Lord looks on, he's interested in, and he cares about us on the earth. He gets off his throne to come and see what is going on. In fact, that's another of God's names, El Roy. God is all-seeing. And as we studied last year, and Andrew reminded us from Psalm 139, God is all-knowing as well. So what does he see on earth? Well, just as he expected, nothing is hidden, no thought or deed. There's no surprises for the Lord who sees all. Yet he who is holy comes down, comes past heaven down to our level on earth, where rust and moth and COVID-19 destroy, where people are sinful, selfish and rebellious. It's incredible, isn't it, that the Most High God comes to see us. He cares about you and me. So is that compelling? Far better than man's best friend or son or daughter or granny. Human praise is inadequate. Heavenly praise is appropriate. Surely you're convinced now from what we've seen of God. Maybe, though, you're still not ready to praise the Lord. You're thinking, okay, so God is interested in me. That's all great stuff, but so what? Life is pretty crummy right now. There's no sport. There's no socializing. There's no work for some. How exactly does the Lord help me? Well, there's something more, and that is our third point from verses 7 to 9. He exalts those who fear him. As we've been studying in Ecclesiastes over the past couple of months, we've come to understand that without God, everything is meaningless or hebel. Everything under the sun is fleeting and futile and has a nasty smell about it. As Kevin put it last week, we are sick in the head with affluenza and sick in the heart with sin. Psalm 113 puts it like this: we're all poor and needy and alone. And what hope is there without God? No hope, no purpose, and no value, nothing, hebel. For many in the UK and other rich and developing countries, I think we assumed that we were entitled to God's blessings, but gave no acknowledgement to the gift giver. In fact, these gifts became what so many worshipped. It's taken COVID-19 and wartime intervention from governments, not only in China, but every country now, to strip back those things we take for granted. The speed and scale of that is a shock, as Trevor prayed, and many will struggle and search for meaning in a world devoid of so much we take for granted. Pubs and clubs and restaurants, gyms and malls. But for the Christian, and especially for us, having spent so many weeks immersed in Ecclesiastes, this might be a good thing. Why are we here? What is the meaning of life? Hebel without God. Psalm 113 is clear too on this point. It is the Lord who sees, the Lord who stoops, and the Lord who saves wretches like us from the hebel of this life and from sin. We can do nothing to save ourselves. How could we? We might kid ourselves that we can do better through work, influence, or affluence. We might be fooled into thinking that we're better or greater than him over here or her over there. But when everything is laid bare, it's clear we're not. And when we focus for just a minute on our state versus the Lord, as Psalm 113 so helpfully sets out, then that gulf becomes a chasm. We are puny, nothing versus God. Not even our best efforts will help us. But contrast that, look down at the words again in verses 7 to 9. Contrast that with those who are raised and lifted and seated and settled. His servants, children of God, living with the Lord, with their brothers and sisters in Christ as princes and princesses. What did they do? What do we do to deserve that? The answer is nothing, of course. It's grace, which speaks to us of two other names that reveal more to us about the Lord's character. First, Adonai, which is King or Lord and Master. In summary, God's in charge. And how often, even as Christians, do we say that and do something else? Let him be boss, truly in control. If we don't, we'll never be at peace. Wearing our own crown, we'll mess it all up. Take off the crown and acknowledge that God is in charge. My final revelation of God's name and character is Abba, which means father or daddy, the love and affection of a small child for his father, which is what Jesus prayed. And that's the name he used for God, his father, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and not only Jesus. If we come to our Father in heaven trusting in Jesus, we can call the great God of the universe daddy. And in his loving arms, we are secure forever. See what's happening? The Lord God reverses our hopelessness and exalts us instead. But how to know that today if you're not a Christian? Well, the Bible is clear. Acts chapter 2, verse 21 assures us that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So no qualifiers except to call on the name of the Lord. And Acts chapter 4, verse 12 clarifies this if you doubt it. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. The only way is Jesus. It's a bit controversial this day. Surely there are other ways. Why only through Jesus? The Bible is clear again. Only he can save us from the judgment that our rebellion against God deserves. If you want proof that we're rebellious, how do you feel about the quarantine and the lockdown? And the law in many lands will punish those who can't accept it. How much worse, though, the punishment for rebelling against God and his love and his good and loving commands. So our sin and rebellion against God are real, but how then can we possibly escape the judgment and justice that we deserve? When Jesus died on the cross, it was in our place. He accepted our punishment. God's burning anger against our sin was satisfied. And instead of our filthy rags, God sees us dressed in robes. We're saved by Jesus, as it says in verse 7 of the Psalm, from the dust of death, rescued and raised from the burning ash of God's wrath. Instead, in verse 8, to be exalted ourselves and seated round his throne and settled in our hearts, in verse 9, especially for the childless women, secure that we belong with his family. So how should we sum up verses 7 to 9? The Lord Jesus stoops down, raises us up, and seats us in heaven as part of God's family, surrounded by his glory, and he'll do so for all who call on his name, anywhere on the earth. Revelation chapter 5 points us forward to Jesus' return, when heaven and all God's people will cry to the Lamb, be praise and honor. So when Jesus returns to gather up his people, his church, there will continue to be praising like this. And only God can do this. So give him the glory that is due to his name and praise the Lord, all of you, his servants, now and forevermore. So in conclusion, let's step back to the challenges we set ourselves 20 minutes ago. Do you think Psalm 113 sets out a compelling case to praise the Lord? First, the Lord's name, I Am, which we should rightly fear and tremble for. Who can come near and live in the presence of a holy God? But secondly, who is like him, his deep love for us in our predicament and sin. And thirdly, then, his supreme act of grace in the death and resurrection of Jesus, in whose name we trust, and through who we can say, Abba, Father. Well, alleluia, if you cried out yes to any one of these, or to all of these. Psalm 113 is just what we need in a world of COVID-19, a clear and fresh grounding in the knowledge and character of our Lord. And if you're still not sure and you want to chat some more, we'd love to do that with you, whether that is by phone or by Zoom. Please do get in touch with us through the church website. And one final challenging question for us to tackle over lunch with our families. There's no sport, of course, and no entertainment, so no distractions, plenty of time to chew on God's word over lunch. Who will you tell this week of your love and your joy and your praise for the Lord our God? Let me close in prayer. Dear Lord, glorious King over the heavens and the earth, we thank you again for your goodness and love. Forsaking all that you had, you came to be with us and then died for us so that we might be saved from this hell by trusting in your name, the name of Jesus, acknowledging our sin and helplessness before you, And fill now with your Spirit the seal and deposit of our inheritance. We look forward to the day when we will be with you, and we cry out with joy in our hearts. Praise the Lord. Amen.